Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Roundtable as we discuss interesting people, places, and events that take place here in Greenville as well as Dark County in West Central Ohio. I'm Alex Warner, joined today by a full table full here. We have our regulars, Mike Stiegel, Galen Blosser, and we have, it looks like, about half of the police department here for the city of Greenville. This is Police Chief Ryan Benji, and our two lieutenants here today are Ben Boyer and Joe Monin. And well, I tell you, it's good to have you folks here. This is a fairly new administration coming on board
here.
Yeah,
didn't we always know they'd catch up with us sooner or
later? Yeah, they finally found us, didn't they? Yeah. Anyhow, we're going to spend some time catching up on what's going on with the police department and things going on around town. But first of all, I'd kind of like to have you guys kind of introduce yourself, a little bit of your background. We'll start with Lieutenant Ben Boyer over here. Where are you from and how long you been here, Ben?
I'm from Dark County. I've been lived in Dark County since 1988. I'm 39 years old. I've been with the city of Greenville, the police department, since 2009. I just had my 15th year anniversary. I'm currently the lieutenant over our dispatch center and all department equipment and property.
Okay, where'd you go to high school here in Dark County?
I was actually homeschooled.
Okay.
All my years from 1st to 12th, I grew up in the Franklin Road District.
Okay, and then you just started right in and out as soon as you got done with your school and started right into police work?
I got into Police Academy in Edison Community College in Piqua, and I worked part-time in Arcanum for about 2 years and then got full-time here at Greenville.
Okay, very good. What's Lieutenant Boyer? Lieutenant Joe Monin, a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah, so I graduated of Ansonia. Then I did some work there for a while before I went to the police academy at Wright State. Once I got done with Wright State, I actually started in Union City for a few years before Greenville made the awful mistake of hiring me back in 2017. And from 2017, I've done a road patrol upwards of detective through sergeant and now lieutenant with the Greenville Police Department. It's been a great experience. From the North Star area currently, and I have two kids.
Okay, very good. Okay, and Police Chief Ryan Benji, what's going on here, Chief?
Well, I've been with the department for just over 10 years, coming up on 11 years now, time flies. I was a road patrol for a few years, sergeant. I was a detective for a while. I focused on narcotics for a couple years, at narcotics investigations, and then support services lieutenant. I was in Lieutenant Boyer's job for a couple years. Then I did operations lieutenant, what Lieutenant Mon's doing now. And then just a couple months ago, I was fortunate enough to be promoted to chief. So it's, like I said, it's time flies. Like we're, you know, this is a new administration. We're trying to kind of look at what the community wants and do things for the officers and the dispatchers to make the department what it can be. We think it can be great, and I think we're really, us three are working together with our other administrative staff, the city administration, and just trying to build this up to, like what I said, I think we can make it great.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm going to ask you a few questions here, and Galen and Mike are going to jump in, and feel free to jump in at any time like you guys always do. Anyhow, let's talk a little bit. How many is on staff right now? The Greenville City Police Department consists of how many people?
So we have the ability to have 28 officers. We currently have 23. Our dispatch staff is full. We have eight dispatchers. We have an administrative assistant. We just did a conditional offer of employment for a new patrol officer that's going to be joining us hopefully soon. He's going to go to the police academy early next year, so that'll bring us up to 24. We will be in the month of October opening up the hiring process again. We're working with our civil service commission to kind of revamp some of that process. We want to make it as easy as possible to bring the best candidates in and then find ways to retain them. That's with civil service, we want to work closely with them to make sure that we're doing that process the best way possible so that we're getting those people in. Not just getting them in, but it's keeping them here locally so that whenever you're out at an event or out in the public, you know who these officers are. We want the people to stay here with us and us three, and the city administration's working on the best ways to do that.
Yeah. How do you go about retaining them?
Well, that's a good question. You know, the other agencies in, you know, Miami, Montgomery, they have, they're throwing money at officers. So I think that there is a money piece to that, but I also think that creating a better atmosphere, we want to come up with events and make this a family atmosphere where officers know us, we know their families. Things like that, I think, go a long way with officers. We want them to feel, and dispatchers, that we have their back and we know about their families. And so money is really out of our hands. That's not something that we can control necessarily. But finding ways to show officers that while they're here, they are a part of our family and our team, and doing things like that, I think, are going to go a long way.
What's the one quality you really look for in an officer?
Well, it's really just overall, the overall makeup of the officer. The, you know, we want someone that's, it would be nice to have officers that are rooted here, but that's not possible. We bring candidates from other counties and stuff, but I would say just overall, integrity and that good moral character, that, because you can train officers the basics of the job, how to handle certain types of calls. You can train that, but to hire someone that has integrity and that's willing to learn, it's different. I mean, you just gotta be open-minded when you come in and do that hard work. We all started, all three of us, we worked the night shifts and the evening shifts, and you miss holidays, and not everybody wants to do that. And so being open-minded to that and willing to take that on, it's a lot for anybody. And that's what we want to, whenever we're doing these interview processes, we bring it up in every interview. But once you get them in the door, it sometimes changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody really wants to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, but we also want to be flexible on our end too. We know people have a family. I just seen this stat that first responders doing this job, you see so many critical incidents. You deal with so much of the, whenever we go out to a call, it's not normally good. There's there's domestic violence. So what are these officers and dispatchers doing when they leave work to deal with that? And that's something that we want to focus on, creating a better atmosphere for them, giving them resources that, whenever they leave work, can they, to help them maintain their physical and mental well-being.
Let me ask you this. I know Nick and I did a show with the Greenville Police Department as well as Fire Department probably, 10 years ago, Nick, something like that. What's your budget right now? Because I think 10 years ago it was like $1.2 million. What's your budget right now for the police department?
Our budget for we're right now planning our 2025 budget, and it's around 4.4 million. Wow. For the dispatchers and police, our total budget, somewhere in the ballpark of 4.5 million.
Okay. Now, if somebody wants to be a dispatcher, what do they need to do? What kind of training, and how do they get involved in that process of becoming a dispatcher?
Our minimum qualifications for a dispatcher would just be 18 years old, be a citizen, United States citizen, a driver's license, and then a high school diploma or a GED, and that's all it simply takes to apply. Once we have an opening, it would just begin with submitting your interest for the position, and then there's a process with several tests and background investigations.
Now, is Greenville Dispatch, I know Mike, you were involved in that, is Greenville Dispatch tied in with the county then on the same system, or how's that? I know that was a big deal, 5, 10 years ago or
10
more?
10 years ago, anyway.
Yeah.
We all share the same radio system, and our same system, our officers all using the in their cruisers between the road deputies and then our patrol officers. We have our general line that goes to us at our center, and then they have a general line at the sheriff's office, and then 911 will go to the sheriff's office, and then we could also can receive 911 calls.
So if I'm dialing 911 for some reason, it's going to go to you first? If I live in the city?
If it's a cell phone, it would go to the county first.
Okay.
And if you call from a landline, I do believe it.
All 911 calls go to the sheriff's office.
Okay.
But if, say, you're having an emergency here in Greenville, they're going to transfer you to us really quickly,
right,
and we're going to collect that information. That was something that changed with what's called PSAPs a few years back. But there's very minimal delay. what the sheriff's office does a pretty good job of, once they find out it's in the city, we normally have one or two dispatchers working that can, it'll get transferred to us, we start sorting through it, and it gets routed pretty quickly.
Okay. It was about, what, 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe longer, maybe 6 or 7, now they did, the state really wanted to get away from the PSAPs. They that was one of their big pushes, you know, cut the number of PSAPs down for some whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know what the, I don't know if it was funding, I don't know what the exact reason was to want to minimize those.
Well, that was at about the time, too, they were all going to the MARC system, and they wanted everybody, they're trying to get everything all, everybody on the same page, basically, what they're trying to do.
And you see a lot of counties that have one dispatch center, and maybe that works in other counties. I think in Greenville, we have a really good system that provides that sort of personalized service for not only us, for our officers, but for our firefighters as well. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know for the firefighters and the officers to know that it's coming from them. The sheriff's office does a great job with their dispatchers, and I know our dispatchers work really well with theirs. If there's an emergency, they, you know, it all comes together. So to see that, like whenever a major event happens, I'll use a tornado as an example. And in May, it was like things were just clicking. You know, they offer us resources, and you know, we offer them whatever resources we can. It just works.
Okay. Mutual aid, kind.
Yeah, mutual aid, exactly. Mutual aid, yeah, in its finest term. Yeah.
Are there any other small communities in Dark County now that have their own police departments? Does Ansonia still have?
Ansonia has a police department. Okay. Chief John Puckett, he's the new chief there.
Arcanum
for sales, Union City.
Okay, mm-hmm. They all do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question.
New Madison doesn't know.
Nationally, police don't get a lot of good comments.
Mm-hmm.
Media is tough on you guys. Not all media, but a lot of media is. Social media mm-hmm. can be a terrible thing. It can be a good thing.
Yeah.
You just had donuts with cops.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great turnout. What would you tell people instead of getting on social media and talking about something negative before they know it? Are you willing to talk to people? Can they come to the office?
Absolutely. Me or the lieutenants, if there's a concern or you know, something, come talk to us. We're going to be doing these events. You're going to see us in the public. Come say it to us. Come talk to us. Maybe there's a misunderstanding on our part, on their part. But, you know, I was talking to you at the Coffee with the Cops thing a couple weekends ago. The turnout was great, and the feedback, there was questions about why we do things a certain way. And I think that's the best way to, you know, it's easy to sit behind a keyboard and say negative things, but to come in to us directly is the best way. I mean, it could just be a simple misunderstanding. You know, we always get those calls, you know, you pulled this person over for this. And I don't think that's, you know, the person saying, I don't think that's legal that you did that. Well, come talk to us. We can show you, you know, either the video or the law that says this, and that would just eliminate the concern.
Yeah.
So, or maybe if it is a legitimate concern and there's something that that was done wrong, that's where we step in and we look into it. But we don't know that unless it's brought to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And having those chats with the community, it's fun, and it gives us a chance to explain why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lieutenant Monin, here's a question. The qualifications for dispatcher, are those different then as far as somebody that applies to be a patrol officer, or how's that work?
So when you apply to be a patrol officer, the basic qualifications are almost identical. You have to have a driver's license, a diploma, you know, but as far as the police academy goes, that's not something that actually, when we hire you, is actual requirement. That's something that we can send you through if the situation just works out right. If it's somebody that comes in and we, you know, it meets all of our qualifications, you know, we do the interviews, and it's like the chief was saying, it's good character, someone we really think that has a lot of potential, that's something that we can do, is send you to the police academy. It's not necessarily something that has to be done before you apply with us. If, you know, we have 5 candidates and 2 have the academy, you know, if our spots are limited, then obviously, you know, we try to tend towards those if they're better candidates, but it all just depends. There's no real extra requirement that we can't really work around.
The candidates pay for their own training, right?
So the situation
is unless they get hired and then the city reimburses, or how's that work?
So there, it just kind of depends on the situation. You can have people who apply that have already gone through the academy. If they've made that effort before they've kind of approached us and they've kind of completed that, we don't do a reimbursement, but we do have like our own type of training fund that we, you know, we would assist once they get hired. If they wanted to continue their schooling after that, we could assist with that. But essentially, if someone was to come to us who hadn't gone through the academy yet, and we thought that it was someone that we were going to hire, the city could potentially pay for them to go to the academy. And once we hire them, they actually would get paid hourly wages to even go through the academy.
Okay.
Is there a maximum age limit to become a police officer?
There is. There's a state, and Chief probably knows better than that, there is a state maximum.
So, well, boys,
I guess we're out. thank God.
We'd love to have you guys.
thank God for being old.
without a prior commission, just so if anybody listening is interested, if you've never been commissioned as a police officer before, and prior military service also counts for this, but it's 35 years old. If you've been in the military, that age limit, or if you've been a police officer somewhere else before, that doesn't.
That
gets waived because it has to do with the pension system we use, Ohio Police and Fire. So without any prior service, 35 is the maximum to start.
Now, it used to be, and I know, again, I'm referring back to like 10 years ago, is the city divided into like three or four different zones where you have an officer assigned to each zone on each shift? I think I remember that's how that was set up. Is that how that works?
Exactly. We've divided the city into three districts, north, right. And then we have what's called Mutual, that's sort of like the downtown area, and then there's the south, which we're in now technically, and officers assigned to each quadrant throughout each shift, but we do have some flexibility there. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a small city, so the officers do cross lines to go handle calls in certain areas.
You know, speaking of crossing lines, okay, so you try to stop somebody for some whatever, okay, some violation. They take off. As soon as they leave the city limits, can you still pursue them?
I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, we have a policy for that requires certain circumstances before we could pursue outside the city and to a certain boundary. And the chief could touch a little bit more. But, yes, we could potentially pursue you out of the city.
It's a circumstantial case-by-case basis. If I won't get into the fine details. I don't want people to on what we're going to chase
right,
you for.
Right, but, yeah, right.
On a violent offense, let's say domestic violence, we're going to chase you until, you know, obviously there are circumstances where we would stop, but on violent offenses, we're going to keep going. And we're going to, you know, get that assistance from other agencies, and we're going to do everything we can. Now, minor traffic violations, obviously, you got to weigh the risk versus reward. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to.
Yeah.
We don't want to
cause an accident.
Yeah. We don't want anyone to get hurt.
Running the speed.
One of our officers or the person being pursued or an innocent bystander. It's a case by case basis. But yeah, we will chase you outside of the city.
Okay.
For each one of you. What's the hardest part of your particular job?
I would say the hardest part is dealing with just certain victims. You know, you get into this job, and you know, I really love this job. I wouldn't do anything else. I've only been in it for almost 8 years, but I wouldn't want to do anything else. I love, you know, the stuff that we do, the good and the bad. But I would say sometimes you care a lot about certain individuals, and or even especially like kids, and you go on those calls when you have kids and they're the victims of certain crimes. And like the chief was saying, in the critical incidents, I think the stat he's referring to, I think I saw the same one, is most people see maybe 3 to 4 critical incidences in their lifetime, where an officer of 20 years can see up to 800 critical incidents. And so you think of all the victims and the kids that are involved in those situations that are the victims, and that was probably by far the hardest thing that you do in this job.
How about you, Ben?
I mean, he touched on most of it. It's just really those cases you have with children, because, you know, those are the real, I mean, victims. You know, there's victims all around, but, I mean, you know, children have no sway. I mean, they don't deserve any, some of the things that happen to children, there's just no answer for it, no excuses. And, you know, I have a child myself, a four-year-old now, and, you know, sometimes the laws or boundaries that we are, have to follow, sometimes, you know, maybe we don't agree with some things, but, you know, at the end of the day, we still have to follow the law and what we, what we're allowed to do or not do. And, you know, when it comes to children and when it comes to custody things, that stuff sometimes gets difficult because you wish you could do more with for the children. But
yeah. What's yours?
I think these guys said it best. The children don't deserve that. And you get sometimes, you know, Lieutenant Mono and I handled investigations, and there's cases where you want to do so much more, but you get kind of bound by the governmental red tape, mm-hmm. the laws of, you know, you want to do more. And I think it kind of ties back into the officer wellness stuff that we want to focus on, because officers see this stuff over and over and over. Dispatchers hear it on the phone over and over. And then whenever they leave work, you know, maybe they get 16 hours off before they have to come into their next shift. What are they doing in their off time to deal with what they just mm-hmm. seen? And so I've seen it personally, and I know these guys and all the officers have. It just takes a toll on you. And so we want to focus more on getting officers through their career, because it's you know, if somebody's working in a factory or a trade, it's common for them to make it to their retirement date. But I think officers and dispatchers, you don't hear a lot about, it's not common that people retire from this because they just get tired of dealing with it mm-hmm. and they go do something else. So taking a focus on what they do outside of here for physical well-being, mental health, help them deal with that stuff, because it gets old. You see the same people. Maybe, you know, we get the frustrations too, and I know the courts are bound by some things that they can do with legislation on sentencing a person to prison, but that takes a toll on us. I mean, the officers, maybe they have arrested this guy for domestic violence 5 times, and then he's back out of jail. It takes a toll. It wears on people. Mm-hmm. So helping them deal with that outside of here, I think, will hopefully help with retention and help officers and dispatchers get to that retirement goal.
So they talk about 5% of the people cause 95% of the problems. That seemed within the ballpark?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Probably. So your first name basis, I mean, with some of the good citizens around there.
You get a lot of frequent flyers, don't you?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hey, you know, you guys have to be not only law enforcement officers, and that's one thing too. People, when they deal with you, they have to realize that you don't make the laws, you're just enforcing the laws. And so you guys are the point that they're gonna get all over your case.
Oh yeah.
Not that you've made the law, but you're enforcing the law. What's the thing you fear most right now? What's the one thing out there? I mean, drugs, for example. How are we doing on the drug situation here in Greenville and Dark County? So compared to other cities our size.
So Judge Fleeman came in, and I think he's doing a great job of taking these drug offenses seriously. You know, the prosecutor's office is taking a stance on it. I think that whenever you see that from the courts and the prosecutor's office, that's great. That makes us feel like if they're taking it seriously, then I think that that'll help us long term. But what we're doing from our end with drugs is getting into the schools. We actually just left a meeting. We're planning some drug prevention stuff in late October at the schools, Red Ribbon Week, for drug prevention. We think it starts there. If kids can have a little bit of education about it, then that it's not going to be an immediate, you're not going to see immediate results. But 5-10 years down the road, if these kids had contact with us and the school resource officers about drug prevention and what this could potentially, the negative side effects it could cause for them, maybe we could make a dent in it by getting in the schools. And mm-hmm. that's what we're working on. And mm-hmm. I think the courts take it seriously, and I think that they always have, but Judge Fleeman has just come in and, you know, I think he's taken it, you know, really seriously, because we're seeing the negative side effects of it in our community.
That's got to be a good feeling for your department. knowing that you have backing from the judicial system, then you're not just out there picking people up and then they get thrown, their case gets thrown out of court and they're right back out on the streets. So there's some consequences to their actions.
And it's being seen. I mean, from us, you know, we still actually work the road from time to time. We actually still go out and work beats. And, you know, we're not real old and we're still kind of new to the position, but it keeps us fresh too. And we continue to hope to do that. So it keeps us fresh moving forward. But you can see it. I mean, we had a couple big drug operations in the last several years, and with what Fleeman and the courts are doing, I mean, I think we can all agree, you can see it. I mean, drugs aren't completely gone. You know, we get that. And, you know, it's a very big epidemic, and will they ever be completely gone? Who knows, you know? But I would say from 5 years ago or 4 years ago till now, I mean, it's a huge difference on some of the people that, you know, for lack of a better word, that we pushed out of the city who, you know, continue to be those troublemakers, et cetera. And now they know, like, I'm not going to be in Greenville, or you know, I'm not going to drive around on midnights without a license because, you know, our guys are out there, they're being proactive, and they just know. They know that's not going to be tolerated in Greenville.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask about one of your officers. Has four legs, walks on four legs. Officer Hall, mm-hmm. he's a brother to Adam Hall, the coach at Ansonia, mm-hmm. the football coach. Mm-hmm. Different dogs have different jobs. To have a canine in your office, what does this canine bring to the police department here?
Well, whenever we were looking into OTS, and we knew that, you know, the drug enforcement side would be great, and it has been the productivity there. But it also, I think, brings like a little bit of a, like whenever you take OTS to an event, like, you know, coffee with the cops, people love that. And I think it brings the kids together. It brings the whole community to something about dogs, puppies, and you know, it makes people happy, and it's kind of the community policing side of it. But OTS is very well trained. Officer Hall's great with them, and I think it just has done wonders. And you know, going into it, we've looked at getting a canine for years and years and years, and we kept hitting roadblocks. Maybe it was funding or policies. And Lieutenant Flannery, before he retired, took the steps to, you know, go through all that, and we're glad he did, because it got us through a lot of that red tape that we were stuck in, and now the benefits are endless. It's a lot of fun.
Let me ask you this. Do our patrol officers all have body cams now?
Yes, all of the Greenville patrol officers do wear body cams.
Is that a positive or a negative?
I mean, there's... I think overall it's positive. I mean, yes. It helps people.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I think I can speak for most of us. At first, you know, we've never had them, so people are, you know, some officers are a little weary just with, like, well, who's all watching what. We've seen great things out of it because, you know, if somebody does happen to make a complaint or whatever, we can show them, hey, come, here's the video, come watch it for yourself and see if they actually did this mm-hmm. or didn't do that. And then it helps with, you know, just with the drug prevention. It helps with, you know, now we have eyes right there to see instead of just basing it, our court appearance and the case just based off an officer's statement or his eyes. There it is on video. There's him removing the baggie, you know, right mm-hmm. from the suspect's pocket.
Okay. So. Do you guys have somebody full-time that, I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of requests every time there's in the news. All the news people want a copy of the video if you got it. Do you have somebody full-time that just kind of like does that for you? I know the sheriff's department, they get, I don't know how many a day, mm-hmm. requests for video and stuff. And they said it's a full-time job just pulling that video up and sending it out.
So we do have a couple people that are, a couple of our dispatchers that are assigned to a records position to deal with those requests. But it is something that's on my radar to look at a full-time position for that, because there's a lot of redactions that need to be made in the video. We can't release certain, you know, we can't release names of victims in some cases. We can't, obviously all nudity needs to be redacted, and there's a lot of moving parts to it. And we do have a couple of dispatchers that are really good at it, but it is still very time consuming.
Yeah,
and mm-hmm. so we were a little naive going into it. Underestimated that side of it. But overall, like Lieutenant Boyer was saying, it's been a great thing for the officers. And what cops, first responders, probably in general, whenever you change things, there's obviously a little pushback, but the positives have definitely outweighed the negative with it. To be able to have a citizen call and make a complaint, I can watch the video anytime. Yeah. And a lot of the times it was just a misunderstanding. The citizen may have thought they heard something, and then they see that video and realize, oh, that's mm-hmm. okay, maybe I was wrong, he didn't say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's, I think some people will be interested, especially if you played cops and robbers when you were a kid or something. What's the standard issue firearm right now? So I want to take that?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, Chief.
Go ahead.
Right now it's a Glock 45. It's a 9mm.
9mm.
Yeah, semi-automatic.
Okay. Okay. And then in the patrol cars, though, they besides the firearms, or besides the standard Glock, then you have shotguns. What else?
I mean, we do
can
have...
Can you say...
sure.
Yeah. I mean, we do have rifles, patrol rifles, mm-hmm. In our cruisers, all of okay. our patrol cruisers.
Do you have tasers?
Yes, we have. Every officer has issued a taser as well.
And is that special training?
Yes. I mean, annual training yearly, and we have two of our own instructors within the department that teach it for all of our officers.
We talk about annual training. I know I hear the pop, pop, pop every now and then out there at the firing range. You have to qualify every year, or you have to take so many hours out on the range, or how's that work?
So, yeah, this is the minimum. The state minimum is that you have to requalify every year annually. It's set by the state. You have so many rounds that you get to
both
shoot.
With a Glock and a rifle.
Correct.
All the firearms.
Correct. You have
yes.
to shoot. You have to shoot a proficiency at a proficiency level under whatever state standards are. Or we actually do our shoot, and then we're also doing a night shoot this year. That's just to try to stay more proficient. It's not something that the state mandates, but it's something that we're doing within our department just to keep our officers, mm-hmm. Above par, so that, you know, heaven forbid the time ever comes, but that they're ready and that they're proficient.
Mm-hmm. How about like hand-to-hand or, you know, physical training for that, takedowns and holds and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, so we call that defensive tactics training. We kind of correlate that in with our taser and our pepper spray training that we do annually. That's all done annually as well, along with like handcuffing, just to kind of stay proficient with that. That's all done annually, where we have instructors within our department who go through and teach all of our officers, and maybe including us. We also attend those trainings mm-hmm. as well, because like I said, we do go out and work beats along with the other officers.
Yeah. Yeah, Chief could speak a little more, but our agency is accredited, so that, and one thing to be accredited, we have to maintain standards and documentation through training throughout our department, not only officers, but the dispatchers as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, we're getting kind of where we want to start wrapping
can
up. Galen? Yeah,
question?
Yeah. Everybody okay. got another question, Galen?
What can we as citizens, as a community, do to make, maybe not make your job easier, but yeah, make your job easier? What can we do to make Greenville a better place, a safer place? What can we do to help the police department?
Well, I think what we talked about a little bit earlier with that feedback, coming in and talking to us, come to those events, get to know your officers and your dispatchers as much as you can. I think those little things show us, hey, the community's listening. We're planning a family appreciation night for our officers and dispatchers. I reached out to some businesses and about donating things to the officers, like little gift cards and just little things. And the support was overwhelming. Those things, I think, in a small town like Greenville, just shows that, you know, the support's there. You know, you hear the negative feedback on social media sometimes, but those, just walking up to an officer, like maybe it's at the horse parade, and you know, a simple thank you, they hear that, they feel it, and I think it, even though it's something very small, I think it makes people realize that Greenville is a great place to live and work and raise a family, because I don't think that's happening all that much in the bigger cities. Greenville is a small, tight-knit community, and I think once we start bringing these officers in and showing them that we have their back, the community has their back, you know, it's a great feel. I always tell a story, and this is my last story. I was chasing a person on Washington Avenue a few years ago, and this guy, just random citizen, was outside smoking a cigarette, whatever he was doing, and he sees me chasing this person, And he just, and I'm not telling anybody to do this.
You're on foot or in a car?
I'm on foot. It okay. started out in a car, and this guy's running, or a girl's running, by the way. The citizen jumps out in front of her, tackles her. And okay. So I'm not saying do that, but I think that just, for me in that moment, it was like, wow, this is a small community. They're jumping in, helping, you know, take the suspect into custody. I think that just shows Greenville's a great place, and that's where you'd want to work. So, again, don't jump out in front and chase people for us, but I would have caught her anyways.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, you would have. Sure you would have. I know at the car show I saw you, and I got a chance to talk to you and stuff. And
yeah.
I had several people after they said, who was that? And I said, that's a new police chief. Greenville. Oh, man, I see him here. So I think you guys are on the right path. Just get out and let the citizens see you. Let them get to know you. Well, I think you'll be fine.
Well, a lot of people talk about ride-alongs too. Like that's one thing I think is nice for people. If people want to, you know, get firsthand. I mean, you come in yourself, you know, do it, and you can see what our officers are carrying and how we patrol each day and see, you know, what we do, you know, right from the car yourself. And, you know, another thing, you know, your question about helping the citizens too, it's that see something, say something, because, you know, we are a smaller department, a smaller mm-hmm. community. We can't be everywhere. And sometimes, you know, we rely on, you know, the citizens to, you know, when they see something happen, and then to come forward and let us know.
Well, I know you guys have a tough job, but boy, we certainly appreciate it. And I think the vast majority of the Greenville citizenry does too. And, you know, you're going to take some heat sometimes, but you guys do a great job. It's that thin blue line out there, man, right? Mm-hmm. It's what, 28, you said, of you? Including dispatchers?
Well, total with dispatchers right now, we have around 35, 36 employees.
Yeah, so you got 35, 36 people out there, and they're keeping us safe in a town of 13,000 people, and we certainly appreciate it. So, hey, thanks so much, Lieutenant Ben Boyer, Lieutenant Joe Monin, and Police Chief Ryan Benji. Thanks for taking time out of your day and bringing us up to date, because, like I say, that's a tough job out there. We're certainly glad you guys are out there serving the public and keeping us safe and everything like that.
The next time I see you, Ryan, at A&B, you owe me coffee.
Sounds good.
We just talked about how you're supposed to support them. Anyhow, Mike Stiegel, Dalen Blosser, I'm Alex Warner, videographer as always, Nick Schmidt. Thanks for watching this episode of The Roundtable here on MyCountyLink.com. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.